This is Radio Superior 1940, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lakes, station KUWS in Superior, Wisconsin. It's 6 o'clock, Tuesday, May 14th, 1940. This is Jack McKenna speaking. We have more big news from the war in Europe. The wire service bell has been ringing all day. Lou Martin will be in with the 6 o'clock news. Harriet Farrig will look at what's playing at the movies. And we have an interesting comparison about how much money teachers make and how much bacon Shirley Temple brings home. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by the 7th Street Market. Get three cans of Campbell's soup for just 25 cents. Founded in 1917 by Joe Ansell, shop the 7th Street Market, 7th and Tower in Superior. That's why they call it the 7th Street Market, Lou.
Yes. Thank you, Jack, and good evening, listeners. An Amsterdam broadcast declares the Dutch resistance has been broken, and from Paris, the French admit Nazi troops are within French borders, seizing the city of Sedan. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Roundup from London.
London calling, your correspondent Webb Miller reporting. A broadcast heard here today from Amsterdam quotes the Dutch Army commander Henry Winkelmann as declaring our resistance has been broken by overwhelming powers. The broadcast says Rotterdam and Utrecht, Holland's second and fourth largest cities, have surrendered, and that Rotterdam has been severely bombed. To save further destruction and sacrifices of men, the cities have given up. Dutch troops have been ordered by General Winkelmann to exercise control and to await the arrival of Nazi troops. Meanwhile, a refugee government has been set up today in London. Queen Wilhelmina will rule the Dutch East Indies from here, just as if she was still at The Hague. An ominous report was also released today by Netherlands Foreign Minister to Britain, Van der Druiden. He says the Dutch army had captured a German general. The general carried a list of people who were to be shot immediately upon German occupation of Holland. In London, this is Webb Miller calling Germany. Come in, Max Jordan.
This is the Third Reich. Max Jordan here. Deutschland Broadcast reports that Nazi troops swept through Holland today to the sea. The report also says British and French forces have been beaten back in a major battle at the Belgian town of Louvain, smashing into France along a 50-mile front along the River Meuse. Those Allied forces were unable to reach Dutch troops in time, forcing them to decide between surrender or destruction. German troops are moving with speed along several fronts. They have already taken areas along the French-Luxembourg-French-Belgian borders. Tank divisions did the unthinkable. Coming from the Ardennes Forest and Mountains, an area lightly defended because Allied troops supposed the Ardennes were impassable. They say this is the prelude to the gigantic struggle which will dwarf the World War's first battle of the Marne. This conflict is expected to take place in southern Belgium, where Allied forces are massing their combined armies to make a stand. German commentators here remain confident that Nazi troops and planes are superior to anything in the Allied ranks. Reporting from Berlin, this is Max Jordan calling France. Come in, Ralph Heinzen.
This is Paris, Ralph Heinzen, United Press reporting. The French have conceded that Nazi forces are within their borders. The city of Sedan, 10 miles inside the border, has fallen. The French High Command says German troops have gained momentum in southeastern Belgium, crossing France's northern border. The inevitable Great Battle of the West has begun. The Germans are along an 80-mile front along the Meuse River, a key point in Belgium's defenses. Military advices indicate that Allied forces plan to make their stand there in a battle that could determine determine the outcome of the entire war. Nazi forces are massing great numbers of planes and tanks in the Sudan district. The town civilians have evacuated. Sudan is located in the northern extension of the Maginot Line. The French have repulsed the German assault on the town of Longwy after bitter street fighting. A French war ministry spokesman says all of these are mere preliminaries and the new battle for Holland and Belgium is yet to come. That spokesman says withdrawal from that area is unthinkable. The Allies will make their stand. In Paris, this is Ralph Heinzen speaking.
We also have news from fighting in Norway. Berlin is reporting that 300 British soldiers have been captured in a fight at Mo, north of Trondheim. The Allied hold on the port city of Narvik remains the only foothold on Norway. The United States will join other republics of the Americas to protest the German advances into Belgium, Luxembourg, and Holland. The State Department says it will sign on the protest initiated by Uruguay. In Milwaukee, the Dutch ship, the Prince Maurits, is getting a new coat of paint. The somber crew of 25 dabbed gray paint while listening to the radio for the latest news about their stricken homeland. The ship's agency ordered it to be painted to camouflage it now that the war is on. 44-year-old Captain William Caspers says that he and his crew are worried about their families back home. They left Rotterdam on March the 29th, almost 2 weeks before the attack. Captain Caspers, who has a 21-year-old son in the Netherlands Army, says it's impossible to imagine that his country is being invaded. They had no reason to believe that that would happen when they departed. In other news, a psychiatrist and a researcher at Boston City Hospital is urging sympathy, not censure, for the alcoholic. Dr. Merrill Moore says the alcoholic man is not normal, but is emotionally sick and needs treatment like any other sick person. Dr. Moore says that nagging and scolding won't help. He says the first step is to get the alcoholic to admit that he has a problem. He says families can help by making sure that the man gets proper nutrition. They can also direct him to other pursuits or hobbies instead of drinking. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:06. Jack McKenna has these important words from our sponsor.
Indeedy do I do, Lou. 7th Street Market is here with us today. And boy, we have some great articles on sale there, like fresh trout. Now, who doesn't like fresh trout? How much? I suppose you figure that's you know, way high. No. 15 cents a pound for fresh trout. Want some bread to go with it? Very good. 1 pound loaf, just a nickel. 5 cents. How about that? Eggs, 18 cents a dozen. I tell you, it goes on and on, folks. Pork ribs, 2 pounds. 7 cents a pound. Oh, boy. And we've got some other good bargains for you, too. We've got the Wheaties, the 2 8-ounce packages, pardon me, for 21 cents. But the biggie with that is Jack Armstrong, the All-American boy, airplane with the Wheaties. And Kellogg's Corn Flakes, 2 13-ounce packages for just a quarter, 25 cents. And with that, you get Crystal Bowl included. Oh, I tell you, folks, it goes on and on. You'll be in there all day just buying bargains from 7th Street Market in Superior. Hey, Lou, that Jack Armstrong plane would go nicely with your secret decoder ring. Whoa, it comes right in the cereal. You don't have to send in box tops or anything.
I collect those items for the neighborhood kids, Jack. The condition of Martha Schwellenbach has improved. The mother of United States Senator Louis Schwellenbach of Washington State is a native of Superior. Her condition was reported grave on Sunday, but she's recuperating. She's visiting her brother, former Mayor Fred Baxter. Head of the Lake's grain prices tumbled today with news of Hitler's victory in Holland and Belgium. The price of wheat was shaved 10 cents amid excitement on the trading floor in Duluth. Duluth traders continue to have a glum outlook. A Spooner man was fined $100 and his license revoked for a year for driving under the influence of alcohol. If Robert Kaiser can't pay the fine, he'll spend 90 days in jail. Meanwhile, Oscar Swenson of Superior was fined $50. Spooner Municipal Judge Byron Kimball fined Mr. Swenson for driving his automobile while under the influence of intoxicating liquor. Stew bums are not wanted. That's from the Hobo King Jeff Davis at the Hobo of America convention in Milwaukee today. With a battered cap on his head, King Jeff told the crowd of 500, "Bulls do not drink too much at the Hobo Ball. They don't want any trouble." Quoting now, "Check your guns, cooties, and cares outside. We always conduct ourselves like gentlemen. We don't want any trouble from no stew bums." And our last story is very big news indeed from a not-so-little girl. 11-year-old Shirley Temple says that she's retiring from movie pictures. For a time during her 8-year career for 20th Century Fox, she was the biggest box office attraction in the world. She wants to lead a normal life as an adolescent. She saved $3 million and should be able to be comfortable on that for the rest of her days.
Indeed. Sounds like the good ship will have as many lollipops as she wants. Old Shirley and I have a lot in common, though, Lou. Kind of in the reverse.
I know that I'll regret asking, but how's that?
She's retiring at 11 with $3 million, I reckon. I'll be able to retire at $3 million with $11. Oh, that's Lou Martin with the news, folks. Now, our weather forecast for this Tuesday, May 14th, 1940. Fair skies tonight with rising temperatures. We should get down to about 40 degrees for a low tonight, and we'll have a wonderful May day tomorrow with sunshine and 70 for a high. Now, for your enjoyment, here's the very fine music of Charlie Barnett with vocals by Kay Starr. And You Always Hurt the One You Love on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
That's the good time music of Charlie Barnett and You Always Hurt the One You Love on station KUWS. Hey, Lou, can you imagine Shirley Temple saved 3 million clams over 8 years.
All of it during the Great Depression, too.
3 million simoleons. 3 million potatoes. 3 million greenbacks.
One of Superior's own in the service of Uncle Sam is being transferred from Marsh Field, California, to Chanute Field in Illinois. Wallace Werner joined the Air Corps last year in the fall of 1939. His parents live in Superior.
$3 million. That's a lot of moolah.
A lot of cabbage. The school board news is next. They've cut the pay of the teachers.
Maybe the school board should call on Shirley Temple. Anyway, let's hear the good time sounds of Jimmy Durante and Inca Dinka Doo. Now, I looked for that record all day yesterday. Finally found Inca Dinka Doo, but for a while I thought it was going to be Inca Dinka Don't on the Martin McKenna Show, right here on Station KUWS.
A dinka doo, a dinka dee, a dinka doo. Oh, what a tune, what a tune, all crooning. Ink, a dinka doo, a dinka dee, a dinka doo. It's got the whole world spooning. Eskimo bells up in Iceland are ringing. They've made their own paradise land singing. Ink, a dinkadoo, a dinkadee, a dinkadoo simply means ink, a dinkadee, a dinkadoo. Ink, a dinkadoo, a dinkadee, a dinkadoo. Just a crooner, just a crooner. Ink, a dinkadoo, a dinkadee, a dinkadoo. There's a little bit of Bing Crosby in me. Eskimo bells up in Iceland are ringing. Come on, Jimmy, here comes the finish. Pep it up, hit it. Ink. A dinkadoo, a dinkadee, a dinkadoo. What a voice, what a voice. Simply means ink. A dinkadoo, a dinkadee.
A-cha-cha. Yes, we've just enjoyed the music of old Schnozzola himself, Jimmy Durante, and Inca Dinkadoo on the Martin and McKenna Show.
I'd like to welcome Superior School Superintendent William Davies. Good evening, Mr. Davies.
I wish I could say I've got good news for your listeners, but I don't. Old Man Depression has his hooks in us as much as ever. Next school year, the 40-41 year, will see another cut in salaries for our teachers. Now, I know this is a hot potato, but we don't have a choice. We're already in the hole by $16,000 for this current year. You ask, what are teachers making a year now? I'd rather not say, Lou. You could check with our school board secretary, Nichols, about that.
I can tell you how much teachers make, Mr. Martin.
Excuse me, miss. We're on the air here.
One of these days, we should get a lock for that studio door.
Miss Whipple.
I apologize for bursting in here, Mr. Martin, but I know you're a fair newsman, and you'd want to hear our side of the story. Goldie Whipple here.
Nice to meet you, Miss Whipple.
I'm a teacher here, and so is my sister Helen.
Well, that's nice. But I've got a few questions for Superintendent Davies, if I may.
Now, Goldie, we've talked about this before. These are hard times.
Hard times for teachers, that's for sure. Let me tell you, some of our teachers make less than $1,000 a year. And security? We don't have that either. People have to know that we've got the responsibility of their children. Yet we make about as much money as the pin setters in the local bowling alley.
Well, Miss Whipple's right, Lou. It's not fair. But when you think that we have to charge each student at Central and East High, $1 to use textbooks every year. Well, it's a shame. 50 cents of that's used to repair the books, and they buy new ones. And if the books are returned in good shape, they get 50 cents back. These are hard times.
So you balance the books on the backs of the teachers.
So to speak.
We're mad and feel pretty unappreciated. The clueless cut came last night when the school board voted to continue the hated 30-day clause into 1941.
You may ask what the 30-day clause is. That's a good question, Lou.
He's always asking tough questions.
Oh, we had to do it. Let us reduce the salary of any or all teachers and employees with a 30-day notice. We need to protect ourselves against a possible overdraft.
People need to remember that teachers not only have high school diplomas, but many have a year or two at the State Teachers College. Some even have a four-year teaching degree. All of those qualifications, and we get paid less than $100 a month. Oh, my word.
Oh, I can't argue with Miss Whipple, Lou, but Goldie, we got big trouble at Blaine School. Fire Chief Jim Sweeney says if we're going to stay in that old building, we got to fix it up, and that costs money. Oh, but only some of the schools have things like a radio. We need to modernize. All I can say is that we hope things will change. It's a new decade. The 1940s may see better times.
Meanwhile, we have to live on peanuts. It's not an easy life. Remember, there are 205 teachers in Superior who feel the same way I do. And, Lewis, if I may be so bold...
I've never said no to a school teacher.
We'd like to thank the five teachers who have reached the retirement age of 67 and will be teaching their last class in the coming days. Good luck to Elizabeth McCormick, Josephine David, Mary Lloyd Jones, Nellie McCullen, and Margaret McCrae. These ladies began teaching in the days before our schools had electricity and modern conveniences.
Well, that about does it, I guess. Anything else, Lou?
I've got nothing. Thanks, Superior School Superintendent William Davies and teacher Goldie Whipple.
Well, good questions, Lou. You keep up the good work.
You are a nice man, Lewis. Good night. Come, Mr. Davies. I believe you owe me a soft drink.
Good night, you two. You know, Lou, you have the weirdest interviews.
People barging in, people interrupting. I don't think other newsmen have this problem.
Poor guy.
You're no help either. You and your comments on the side sometimes. It'd be nice if you'd use your microphone off switch more often.
I think that was a great interview you didn't do. I'll figure out a way to cheer you up, pal. One way is with some good sounds from our hit parade. Here's Russ Morgan and his orchestra, and there goes that song again on the Moody Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
I'm not moody.
Call it our serenade. We fell in love when we heard it played over and over and over and over again. I still remember when I sang the words and they made you mine. I'd steal a kiss and repeat each line over and over and over and over, and then we drifted apart. You walked off with my heart. It's funny how one listen just lets me reminisce. I'd soon forget that yen. I told myself when you said so long, but I was wrong, there goes that song again.
Some moody music for one and all tonight. That was There Goes That Song Again with Russ Morgan and his orchestra, with the old Ruster himself singing on station KUWS. Hey, Lou, let's bring in your favorite brightener upper.
I've got to admit, if there's someone who can make a body's cares melt away, it's our entertainment editor, Harriet Farrick. A sight for sore eyes.
Red eyes, too.
Thank you, Louis. We'll just have to pick a show tonight that you'll enjoy.
You mean, if I acted moody and grouchy, I could choose the flick?
But, Jack, you never get moody and grouchy. It's just that artists like Louis have their deep and sometimes dark sides.
Artist? Lou?
That's right. And deep, too. Newsmen are under a lot of pressure, you know.
And you handle it so well, Louis.
For all of our listeners out there, and I am rolling my eyes, we'll hear from Harriet and what's playing at the movies right after this number. Selected just for your enjoyment, folks. This is brand new from Glenn Miller and his orchestra. I think he's got another big one here, friends. Let's listen to Ray Eberly sing When You Wish Upon a Star on the Martin and McKenna Show. from the 1940 hit parade, brand new from Glenn Miller, When You Wish Upon a Star, on station KUWS. Lou Martin now has these news bulletins from the war in Europe.
From Paris, trying to keep Italy out of the war, France sent an objection to the anti-Allied campaign being waged in the fascist press. From Berlin, reports that fighting in the Sudan area of northern France is intense. Germany claims to have shot down 70 Allied warplanes today. From London, the War Office has announced that more troops have been landed in Norway, 7 miles north of Narvik, with only a few casualties. From Washington, the Navy is recommending an additional $300 million to build warships above and beyond the current ships under construction. A 48-hour work week is being proposed for shipyards building combat vessels, Jack.
After all that, Lou, I guess I could use some cheering up, too. So, Harriet, what have you to cheer up the artist newsman?
Well, there are some fine films playing in Superior tonight. The Prince's Theater is showing Bluebeard's Eighth Wife, starring Claudette Colbert, Gary Cooper, and David Niven.
Now, Bluebeard, there's a moody guy. Eight wives, oh boy.
The Princess Theater, where movies are always affordable at 10 and 15 cents per person. The Beacon Theater features a real sizzler, a whiz of a romance with Ginger Rogers in her best drama since Stage Door. She and Joel McRae steam up the silver screen with Primrose Path. Goodness, it even says here that Primrose Path is not suitable for children.
We can't take Jack to that one, then.
Ah, I wonder if they'll show a cartoon before the movie.
At People's Theater, it's Betty Hutton in Public Jitterbug Number 1. Tickets on sale for 15 cents for matinees, 25 cents for evening showings at People's Theater. And the Superior Theater has a double feature tonight. I think you'll like these, Lewis. Cowboy Gene Autry and Smiley Burnett star in Old Monterey. Lots of action.
I like a lot of action.
You know, Hitler would be in real trouble if the English were to get Gene Autry and Roy Rogers over there in France. Those cowboys never lose a fight.
And you like the second feature. It's Laurel and Hardy, and the boys are back in the movie A Chump at Oxford.
Laurel and Hardy at Oxford. Mm-hmm. Heck, they think alma mater is a blonde.
I like Laurel and Hardy.
I told you I could wipe away that mean old frown from your forehead.
Well, then we're off, friends. Gene Autry and Laurel and Hardy, here we come. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing. For Harriet and Lou, this is Jack McKenna then, wishing one and all a good night. Hey, wouldn't it be funny if we saw Superintendent Davies and Miss Whipple going into Primrose Path together?
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1940, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farag is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, John Munsell, Joey Laporte. All events reported on Radio Superior 1940 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this same time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.